Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
And welcome into the Wednesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We got a loaded show for you here today. Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com will be with us in the second half of the program. We will get into the Titans hiring of Brian Daboll as the offensive coordinator with him. Looking forward to that. We got the Rex Rant coming up later in the show. Vanderbilt smokes Kentucky last night. We got a lot of things going on the program here today. Joe Rex Road, good morning. Happy Wednesday to you. What's going on?
Not much. Glad to see that, as we'll talk about a lot, the Titans have figured out OC, and apparently Jelly Roll and a bunch of like people on a plane, we're already telling the world this, I guess.
Yes.
I don't know. I'd like to know who gets credit.
I would like to know who gets credit as well. And because, you know, it started yesterday with like all the insiders. It was like, so Brian Daboll is set to become the Titans' next offensive coordinator. Cam Ward gets his man. And then in the background, it's like, you know, unless, of course, he takes the Raiders job, there's also the chance he takes the Raiders job, which
right.
I kept coming out after all that. Like, they basically said he had the job, which was interesting. But he ends up getting the job later that day. Ian, how we doing? What's going on?
Good morning, guys. Doing fantastic. Thanks. You know, still cold out there. Roads are overall better. Pretty solid. Not too bad. Keep it slow. Watch out for some freezing fog.
Yes.
But overall, doing good. Thanks.
Wait, so let's wait. Hold on. Did you say freezing fog?
Yeah, bro.
That is correct.
Mean?
I guess, you know, we've had some fog here over the last couple of weeks. We've documented that on the show. Apparently, when it gets really cold, you know, if it's a little bit of the water particles in the fog on bridges and overpasses, possible they get a little slick.
It's a real thing. It's from defined by the National Weather Service, Joe.
I've never heard that term. Interesting.
Yeah.
See, this is an educational program.
Yes.
This is what we do. We're here to educate the people.
Freezing fog.
You know,
it sounds
we're all in our dad phase of like amateur meteorology kind of stuff. So that's how it goes.
Interesting. All right.
Uh-huh.
So beware the freezing fog out
there.
Keep
talking. I'm going to Google this.
Okay. Joe's going to learn all there is to know about freezing fog coming up throughout the show as well. Brian Daboll hired as the Titans offensive coordinator. So now we know, Joe, you've got Robert Saleh coming in as head coach. You got Daboll as the offensive coordinator. Bones Fossil being retained as special teams coordinator. We'll see what happens on the defensive part of this as they move forward here. But we assume that Robert Saleh is going to be calling plays on defense anyway. So in a lot of ways, Joe, and I saw the breakdown yesterday, and I need to go back and find what the exact number is. But the point is, like, you know, when Brian Callahan was hired as head coach and he hired his staff, you were talking about 0 years of experience at head coach, zero at offensive coordinator, zero at defensive coordinator. And by the way, zero at special teams coordinator as well, with special teams coordinator Colt Anderson there. And this one, pretty much the opposite. Like, Daboll's been in the league forever. He's been an offensive coordinator now, I think, like three different times. You've got Bones Fossil, who's been a special teams coordinator forever in the NFL, and now Robert Saleh as a second-time head coach. So if you're a Titans fan out there looking for a coaching staff that's got some experience to it, boy, they're off to a good start with the staff that they've assembled to this point.
Yeah, Mike Herndon had a tweet on play calling, just the play calling experience, which is Saleh 9, Daboll 12, Bones 18. That's 39. And, of course, the guys you just mentioned, that'd be zero. So, yeah, and it is like when you look at that and look at the contrast, it's like, I mean, we talked about it, but I think I remember at some point it was like maybe a year in, it was like maybe we didn't make enough of a big deal of zeros across the board, you know? And again, not it's zeros across the board experience at those positions too, right? So, that probably didn't make a big enough deal about it. So from that perspective, you know, you have to like that for sure. Interesting to me that Daboll gets a 3-year contract too. I don't know as Karskinen comes in here, but I mean, I can't remember, definitely hear about 2-year deals, a lot of 2-year deals that assistants, you know, that staff members get. I can't remember hearing about too many threes, but I could, maybe I'm wrong, maybe coordinators get that little more than I realize. It does seem a little bit unique to me.
Yeah, it's interesting. And you know, clearly this is who they wanted here, right? I mean, the reporting has leaned that way now for a few days. And once Joe Brady, who, by the way, I mean, we're talking about Joe Brady yesterday. Well, there you go. He gets the Bills job. And once Brian Daboll is out of the running for that, then you hoped that it wouldn't come down to the Raiders and him being stolen away for their head coaching job. And looks like that's the don't know how much consideration they were under. I wonder where the Raiders are going to end up going here, but Brian Daboll, now the offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans. So what does it mean for Cam Ward? I mean, obviously, as we've discussed, Brian Daboll clearly a fan of Cam Ward and the draft process because the Giants tried to trade up and get him last year as he was when he was the head coach. So clearly he likes Cam Ward, clearly thinks Cam Ward has the tools to be a successful NFL quarterback. And now, Joe, like, what does having a coordinator like Daboll mean? How are they going to formulate their offense? What's it going to look like with Cam Ward? You mentioned last week, I mean, it is a new offensive system that Cam Ward is going to have to learn here, which, you know, it's not the world's biggest deal. We've seen younger quarterbacks recently have to learn some new systems and come in, and in their second year have had some pretty good success. So we'll see what that looks like here. But your first impressions of what we know about Brian Daboll, what we know at this point about Cam Ward, and the idea of those two working very closely together over at least the next year, and we'll see after that if Daboll's up for any head coaching jobs at the end of next season.
Yeah, I mean, there is always that. The certainly you figure you have, you want to have that problem, but you have that possibility that you might end up losing him if things go well. You know, when he first emerged as a candidate, and I was like, well, you know, there were some things with the Giants that that weren't great for him, you know, this last year, really the last couple of years. So I don't know if that's like, it's not anywhere close to like the Josh McDaniels situation to me, which is like, okay, we've seen it twice. It was very bad twice. Enjoy being an OC. You know, I mean, Daboll probably gets another chance at some point again if things go well. So you hope you have that problem. Like you said, the Earhart Perkins is the offensive system. He's, I mean, the league is basically it's that. The West Coast or Air Coryell, and then like I guess you like the Kingsbury thing is kind of a little bit different on its own, like a spread, you know, college, more college concepts. But I mean, it's just a terminology thing, really. I think like it's just like the way plays are communicated. Cam's gonna have to totally change that, but you know, the actual plays themselves, to me, again, someone smarter than me refute me on this, but I think you see a lot of the same stuff with all of them, and you need to, you know, you need to apply things to your talent, and so that's where to me, whatever offense he was going to be in, you know, I think we talked about a lot this year, but like more RPO stuff seems obvious for Cam Ward. Worked for him really well at Miami, and it just wasn't. They did a little more after Callahan was out last year. You know, that's one thing, but I mean, I think it's just like you're gonna have a little bit of a learning curve on the terminology, but other than that, you know, it's just like who do they have? Do they have a running game? Like, do they add talent? I mean, those are the more important questions to me. But if they have a good relationship, and I think the belief that we know Daboll had in him a year ago is important there, then that's as important as anything too.
Well, and the bottom line is, you know, obviously they're going to have to make a lot of personnel decisions this offseason that are correct. You know, what are they doing at running back? I would assume that they're adding at least one and hopefully a couple receivers, right? Like I would want them to target one receiver that is of good value in free agency and then one relatively high in the draft. We'll see how they handle all that. But you're talking about an offense that scored 16.7 points per game this last season, which, as TD pointed out in his piece, going over the Brian Daboll stuff, is the second fewest since the team moved to Nashville. So it's an anemic offense that did get better as the season went along, right? Like they started to run the ball a little bit more. I think Cam Ward showed some growth at the end of the year. But it's still, I mean, the totality of it, it's pretty bad offense. So it's been that way for a while. Whether it's 16.7 points per game or 18 points per game or whatever you want to talk about, the offense the last 3 years has just been terrible. So getting to the point where you're making the right personnel decisions, obviously, but also, like, you know, in-game play calling. It's like, this is a guy that's got a lot of experience calling plays. He's got a lot of experience running an offense in the National Football League. Like, the expectation when you combine all these things with the cap space they've got, Joe, with Cam Ward stepping into his second year as a quarterback, and now with an experienced coordinator that I think you feel pretty good about if you're a Titans fan in this role that he's going to have, there better be a heck of an improvement in the offense next year, right? Like, the offense, you know, without knowing exactly who they're about to go land this offseason in the draft and in free agency, you better take 16.7 points per game and get somewhere into the mid-20s. Like, it needs to be the expectation for the Titans next year.
Yeah, I agree. But if I'm Daboll, I'm like, if I hear that, I mean, I understand that. And I'm also quietly saying, please, you know, get me a receiver, please.
Sure. Well, I think that should be a given. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. Yeah. And, you know, you look at his, you know, his career. Obviously, the big thing people talk about with him is, you know, the Josh Allen experience. I mean, that really got him the Giants head coaching job, and, you know, we know how that went. But the Josh Allen thing is, like, again, how much credit do you give him? I don't know. I never know how much credit you give, like, the coach in those situations. I mean, it's definitely different than, like, when Callahan came here and it was like, oh, Peyton Manning and Matt, and you kind of knew it was like, well, he was around greatness, which is good. And, you know, maybe more for Burrow. Like, I don't know. But we also saw Burrow play in college, and it was like, yep, that dude's going to be great as soon as he steps foot on an NFL field. Josh Allen, very different. I mean, massively different. And, you know, the Daboll was OC for that 1 year with Saban, which is really interesting, too, because that's the year that Saban just totally changed his offense with Jalen Hurts after complaining about, you know, what offenses were doing in college football. Like, all right, well, screw you then. We'll just change our offense completely. And then that's the team that, of course, you know, it ended up being Tua coming in and, you know, winning the national championship against Georgia. But, I mean, that's kind of a – I mean, I think it's an interesting part of his career, too, that he was able to go in Alabama, do that, boom. And then, I don't know, he might have – I mean, the Bills job is a good job, but also he might have been like, yeah, a year of Saban's probably good for me. But
– could be.
Yeah, but, you know, the guy – it's as a play caller, I don't really know, like, is he a great play caller? You know, the Bills got to the point where they were pretty freaking good before he got that Giants job. I mean, you have to think also his play calling was deserved some credit.
You would think so. I mean, Daboll down there with Saban in Alabama is like, you know, this guy spends too much time breaking down the Predators' forecheck. We got to get we got to get some people in here that want to talk about football, not hockey.
I need a football guy, okay?
Yeah, it's Saban's not qualifying anymore. He's too concerned about hockey.
How about Sean McDermott? And by the way, real fast, what's up with the Bills, man? Are they just telling us that Sean McDermott was the human turd in the punch bowl? I mean,
guess so.
I don't understand that at all.
I guess so. 615-737-1025, off and running on the program here today. Brian Daboll hired as the offensive coordinator by the Titans. What do you think of the hire? What will it mean for Cam Ward? We'll take your thoughts on all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
The only connection I know of between Saleh and Daboll is that they shared a home stadium for a couple of years. So how do you think that pairing would work if Daboll was the offensive coordinator for Robert Saleh?
Well, funny story about them, actually. I think when Daboll was hired, I believe Daboll was hired after Saleh, right? Yeah, he was. So they lived near each other, I believe, in that Saleh invited Daboll and his family over to like go swim in their pool or something. So I don't know if they kept in touch after that. Maybe they did, but I think they did bond over like being New York coaches. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, like, they need to hit this OC hire, and if Daboll is the guy, like, there is some merit to him being the one to where Robert can be like, okay, I'm going to focus on the defense, because I think Robert will probably call plays for the Titans. Hand the keys to somebody like Daboll on offense, whereas when he was in New York, his first OC was Michael Floor, who I think showed some promise, but was a first-time OC, and he made some mistakes. And then, you know, Woody Johnson forced Robert to fire him after 2 years, and then he replaced him with Nate Hackett, probably to appease Aaron Rodgers, but Hackett is, frankly, one of the worst offensive coordinators I've ever covered. So it was kind of a disaster in that front. So if you could bring Daboll in and he could create an environment for Cam Ward where it works, then I think this marriage could work. A Daboll, Cam Ward, Robert Saleh trio, like that, I could see that working. There's a lot to say where you could say Daboll, outside of Josh Allen, his offenses haven't been great, but you know, it's an interesting pairing. And out of the options that are out there now that like Mike McDaniel's off the board, like, I think Daboll makes a lot of sense.
That was Zach Rosenblatt last week on with DBD, who covers the Jets for The Athletic. Joe, from a pool party in New York, now to partners together here in Nashville. Robert Saleh head coach, Brian Daboll, the OC of the Tennessee Titans. It's come full circle here.
Yeah, we need to implore Kaharski when he comes in. Look, I know there's a lot of questions for Saleh, but we need to get a little detail on this pool party.
You know? I agree.
Was this a one-time thing? Did you guys regularly cook out? Is there a
slide?
Either one
of you need floaties, or can you go swim? Like, what's it look like?
Yeah, a little hoop in a pool. Yeah. I mean, what are we talking about here? We're doing a little, wives get on the shoulders and grapple. I mean, you know, there's so many things you can do at a pool party. So
there is.
We're going to need to find out.
Huh? Nice.
Yeah, look, chicken.
There you go. I was trying
fight.
To think of the term. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Chicken fight.
Yes. Do you guys play chicken? Is that what you did?
I did read that Robert Saleh has 8 children. That could be a...
That's a full house.
That's a busy pool party. He's not even that old of a guy. He's putting Philip Rivers. Lifeguard. Yeah, him and Philip Rivers. They're putting in some work.
Goodness, he and Philip Rivers could absolutely just have their own team
football
someday. Yeah.
Good grief. Well,
the defense side, the offensive side, it actually works out pretty well.
Be in good shape. By the way, speaking of Zach Rosenblatt real quick, did you see the report that came out about how apparently the New York Jets legitimately reached out to John Gruden to join their coaching staff, and he was just like, yeah, no thanks. I don't want to be with the Jets.
I did not.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what role?
I don't know. It just says they reached out to John Gruden about joining Aaron Glenn's coaching staff, and he said, no thanks. I'm all good.
Oh, God. So it just sounds like another harebrained Woody Johnson thing. How about Gruden? Come on.
Exactly.
Sure. He seems cool.
Gruden's been rumored for all these jobs for years, and it was actually the New York Jets that legitimately reached out to him about one.
Man, I feel terrible for Aaron Glenn. I mean, he was definitely, you know, again, there are plenty of coordinators who, you know, don't succeed as head coaches. But, I mean, he was a very good coordinator. It's a complete disaster there. Like, and again, you can't divorce him from blame or whatever. And he looks like he's on the sideline just kind of like pissed off all the time. But it's like, it's just like a no hope situation. So Gruden, who seems desperate to get any kind of job, is like, yeah, you guys are getting fired probably like before next season's even over. So I'm good.
Yeah.
What a terrible situation.
And by the way, as multiple people have pointed out, you know, Robert Saleh, part of the Bald crew. You know, Brian Daboll, part of the Ball crew. With that in mind, this comment from Liam sticks out. Says, it's clear with this shiny new stable of coaches that Borgonzi has taken a cue from some of the smoothest GMs in the NFL by combing the whole league for the best talent and uncovered some of the best coaches available. Thank you, Liam. We appreciate it.
That is follicle-tastic, Liam. Thank you.
Look, as a fellow bald man, you want to do some winning around here? Let's get more bald people in the job with the Tennessee Titans. They're going to be in good shape.
But yeah, like this, like especially on Wednesdays, our show.
Yeah, man.
But you know, we get some shared you know, we some very commonality big time with this staff. Yeah. What's the guy, the white cotton guy?
Yeah.
He looks like he has one hell of a dome. So
absolutely.
So someone's saying 9 children? I mean, I've seen 7, 8, and 9. That's another thing we need to figure out. Well, Kaharski, there's another question for you.
You're missing the joke there. I think he's 9 children. The oldest one coaches the Jaguars. It's because he made Liam Cohen his son earlier this year.
I guess I should have read the rest of the text. Well done, unnamed texter. My fault.
God, I hope that comes up in his press conference. Like, so, are you going to fight Liam Cohen?
Oh, man. There's another one, Kaharski. We may need to spread some of these questions around.
The presser's finally happening tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I think so. Tomorrow at 2, I think.
Okay. I need a Liam Cohen question to come up at some point there. William from Madison pointing out, if you look at the stats when Daboll got fired, Jackson Dart's performance clearly dropped. I mean, the Dart part of it's interesting because, like, he came in and showed some flashes. And, I mean, obviously, Joe, it got to the point where, you know, Jackson Dart was in the injury tent and Daboll's having to like get over there and be like, hey, I'm not playing Russell Wilson. You need to get yourself right out of the injury tent right now. Get back on that field. You know, Dart kind of played like he was a human missile out there this year. That's going to have to change with him moving forward. But, you know, I would say Dart throughout the season, very up and down, pretty inconsistent. The good looked pretty good. The bad looked pretty bad. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and act like I spent a whole lot of time watching Jackson Dart's every snap after Brian Daboll was fired.
Yeah, and as I get, I mean, William from Madison, like, I understand, like, you know, his performance dropped, but was it because Daboll left or was it because he got hurt again and again?
Right.
You know, I don't know, you know. It's such a small sample size. But you could look at it like there were some good things for sure. And Daboll, at least, the Giants, for sure. This was reported, I think, by basically everybody who covers the NFL. Daboll coveted Ward, you know, like,
oh, yeah.
So he got some pretty good stuff out of Jackson Dart. And now, and that was the consolation prize when the Titans would not trade down. So now he gets the quarterback he really wanted. So, you have to like that. And I have to think that. You know, and by the way, I mean, we can get into this here a little bit. I think there's some really interesting reporting along the way this all came about, too. You know, it almost seems like the interview process, you know, we talked about, like, you know, Saleh's plan, but it almost seems like it was an agreement upon this idea. Or at least that's what some are suggesting, that basically, what do you think about Brian Daboll is kind of like part of the interview here.
Yep. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will get into that coming up next. How will the Titans construct their offense with Brian Daboll now as the offensive coordinator? We'll take your thoughts on all that at 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brian Daboll, the next offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans. Taking your thoughts on that on our phone and text lines. We'll have Paul Kaharski with us later in the show. We're going to get into all this with PK. Joe, as you mentioned, it looks like, you know, Daboll kind of reached out to Borgonzi and there was some connection there in the interview process with Robert Saleh about Daboll, the job. You know, Jordan Schultz, among others, put it out there, said after being fired by the Giants, Daboll connected with Mike Borgonzi to express how much he loved Cam Ward and his interest in Tennessee. Daboll and Borgonzi have a prior history dating back to 2012. Titans were well aware of how much Daboll loved Ward. Sources say the Giants made a massive push last year to trade up for number one for Ward, offering the number three pick, a 2025 first rounder with multiple day two picks, and the Titans declined at that point. But it looked like, you know, Borgonzi and Daboll with a little bit of a history there, and Borgonzi and Saleh discussed this, and at the end of the day, that's where they end up with their man. So, Joe, when you hear all that, and we'll get into more detail with Kaharski about all this a little bit later in the show, but what do you make of the Borgonzi part of this when it comes to Brian Daboll?
Yeah, and that's until I actually read that by Kaharski's favorite NFL reporter, Jordan Schultz, doing a hell of a job out there breaking stories, Jordan. I totally didn't realize that, you know, Daboll was – so he was actually hired by Romeo Crennel to be OC, in 12, so he was there with Borgonzi, and you're going way back, and it's only for 1 year, and you know, then you he got fired. That was when the so basically Crennel gets fired, they all get fired. Andy Reid comes in, does not keep Daboll. Daboll goes off with Belichick to be his tight ends coach, and then kind of, you know, ramps himself back up to Bama, Bills, etc. So I didn't even realize that connection. It's also interesting there with what Jordan tweeted there. It sounds like the back channel started here with Daboll reaching out.
Yeah.
Right? Like, well, hey, man, well, just so you remember, I love Cam Ward.
And he also says this. You know, Jordan Schultz said, you know, Borgonzi put on a full court press to land Daboll as offensive coordinator, regardless of who the head coach would be. When Robert Saleh emerged as their choice, Saleh was already on board with Daboll. So, I mean, you read that, and it's like, well, this is a Mike Borgonzi hire when it comes to the offensive coordinator part of this. Now, Saleh clearly was okay with it, but, I mean, this looks like a Mike Borgonzi hire when it comes to the offensive coordinator.
Saleh's like, you know, that dude can grill up some brats, and the cannonball that he landed in my pool, oh, hell yes, I'll take him, sure. But yeah, it's interesting. I guess my question on this also would be, like, during all these head coach interviews, was that part of the interview? What would you think of Brian Daboll as your OC?
Yeah, be interesting.
You know, there's the connection we played earlier. You know, personal connection, not working together in a football sense, but they got, you know, they hung out a little bit at some point, you know, when they were both the New York head coaches. But that's a really interesting thing. Like, I mean, if I'm Saleh, you know, if you're most of these coaches who were coming through here, you want to get a head coaching job, right? But, like, would you not also, like, would Saleh not have some strong feelings about who he wanted independent of Daboll? I mean, I don't know. That's another good question for him tomorrow.
Well, it's a good question for him. And look, we've talked about it. Like, if you're hiring your head coach, I probably want my head coach to be the one deciding who the offensive coordinator is at that point. Now, look, if Daboll was very high on Saleh's list too, and it just was a matter of them coming together and being like, yeah, Daboll's totally cool with me, that's fine with me, then that's one thing. You know, I mean, I don't have a huge problem with that. But if it was like Borgonzi looking at Saleh being like, hey, your offensive coordinator is going to be Brian Daboll, so I need you to be okay with that. Like, that to me is a different thing, right? Like, that's, yes, like, eh, I don't know about that. Like, is that the way you need to be operating in this search if you're Mike Borgonzi?
Yeah, exactly. That's a really important distinction. You know, it's like, look, we have someone we think who's really good, but what do you think? You know, Texas was like, if this was a Borgonzi hire, what was Saleh's 50-step plan that blew the Titans away? Well, yeah, I mean, obviously there's a lot of other things beyond who is going to be the OC to that you can explain to a team in terms of your plan, how you're going to – you still have – you know, again, you still have – you're still the head coach, right? I mean, the OC is going to call the plays. It's his offense. You're still the head coach. You still have a lot of say in any sort of individual – plan, and of course all the other stuff that goes along with being a head coach. But that's a fair question. I mean, yeah, it's like, how was this, like, straight up, this is contingent on being cool with Daboll, or this is who we like, who do you like, let's talk through it?
Yeah, and I don't know that we'll ever, I don't know that Borgonzi's is going to be like, yeah, I you know, I made Robert hire Brian Daboll, it's what we're going to do here. But I doubt we'll find that out, like, from them, but it is interesting the way that was framed by Jordan Schultz there. I mean, look, ultimately, if he comes in and he does a really good job, that's the only thing that I guess really matters here. You know, I have seen some Titans fans that are worried about that. Well, now you've done this, so if he comes in and he does a really good job, he's already up for all these head coaching interviews. If he's doing a good job with Cam Ward, he's definitely going to get head coaching interviews next offseason. And then if he gets hired away, you're already in this cycle with hiring a defensive coach that you're just having to go hire different offensive coordinators all the time. And I get it. Like, we've talked about that. That certainly is, I mean, it's not ideal. It's a concern that I think is valid. But it would also probably mean, like, if I would assume, if Daboll actually lands a head coaching job next offseason, Joe, it probably means that he and Cam Ward have done some pretty good work together.
Yeah. And then you think about who would be, you know, who could be next. I mean, I would assume then you're getting into Salah's pretty deep pool of fellow Shanahan tree coaches, which, you know, then you'd be bringing back that offense, bringing back that terminology. You know, I mean, think about that. Cam Ward could be like, here, learn this. Oh, no, okay. Now totally learn this. Okay, and now go back. Do you kind of remember your rookie year? Because now you got to relearn that. I know, again, most of it, I think, is terminology. Yes, it would be different. You know, different OC is going to have different, you know, concepts and things that they favor and different ways of doing things and all that stuff. That's kind of a pain in the butt if it goes that way. But, it, like, you know, again, the bottom line is if there's success that gets anybody else a job, that's just a huge refreshing change for the Tennessee Titans football franchise.
It is. And look, you know, Daboll and Paul Kuharsky wrote a piece about this at paulkuharsky.com, and we'll get into some of this later. But, you know, one of the things he talked about when he was taken over as the Giants head coach with Daniel Jones, and he talked about the quarterback part of it specifically with Daniel Jones. And he said, quote, "We're going to find out what he does well. We're going to try to implement a system that suits him. And then it's our job to bring pieces in that help him be the best version of himself and the best quarterback for us." Now, there was mixed degrees of success for Daniel Jones when he was the quarterback under Brian Daboll. I mean, basically the first year he looked pretty good. And beyond that, it wasn't all that great from Daniel Jones in New York. But that's what I like hearing. Like, I like an offensive coordinator, number one, that's got experience coordinating an offense and calling plays. But number two, like, you can have a system and you can have a way that you want to operate and do things. Everybody has that baseline. But ultimately, you got to look at the players that you have and you got to figure out from a play calling standpoint, from a game planning standpoint, what do these guys do well? Like, what are these guys? How do you best put these players in a position to succeed? And look, you know, Brian Callahan, did he just never try to do that? I don't know that that's true. He's a bad head coach. He had a bad roster to deal with. And ultimately, if the Titans don't dramatically improve their roster, there's a limitation as to what this is all going to mean when it comes down to the coach here. But I do like Daboll historically, the way that he has approached things of, yes, I've got a system. I've got an offense that I like to run. But I also am pretty hell-bent on trying to get a play-calling rhythm and a system in here that highlights what my players do well. And with the experience he brings to the table, I feel pretty good about his ability to identify the things that Cam Ward does really well and then build out from there.
Yeah, I agree. And I think being humbled is part of this. And that's one thing that Brian Callahan, because, you know, now Callahan's out. And so there's going to be people want to say he was an idiot. He was a bad play caller. He just, you know, he did nothing good. I don't think that's true, but I think that the experience, the more you have in this league, probably the more times you've been humbled. And so for Daboll, who has just recently been humbled, he's had ups and downs. Again, Callahan just really had just kind of been around successful teams and got his shot. And I'm not saying that's why it didn't work out. The biggest reason why is because their players stunk. It really is. But this experience that Daboll brings should absolutely be beneficial. And I have to think that the more coaches are in this league, and especially when they have these ups and downs, the more they understand how critical it is that it really is about what you know, assessing the players and using that as your baseline as opposed to what your scheme is, because everybody can draw up awesome plays that should work all the time.
So how will the Titans construct their offense with Brian Daboll now as offensive coordinator? We will get into that. Coming up next, Vanderbilt absolutely smokes Kentucky last night. We'll get into that to begin the 7 o'clock hour. Paul Kuharsky will be with us later in the program. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone to text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, here's the other thing in this Daboll situation that is interesting when you talk about it from a league perspective. What does this tell you about, like, the Philadelphia Eagles' offensive coordinator job? They're having a tough time finding an offensive coordinator. All the reporting suggests that Brian Daboll was of serious interest to them when it comes to their OC job. He has a pre-existing relationship with Jalen Hurts, the quarterback there from his days in Alabama. They're the reigning Super Bowl champions at the moment until somebody wins this game here in a couple of weeks. They've got A.J. Brown at the moment. They've got all these weapons on offense. And apparently, like, nobody wants the job. Like, there are all these guys that are staying in their current roles. Like, there was some reporting that, you know, Charlie Weiss Jr. was of interest in Philadelphia, and he elected to stay where he is at LSU. Like, this, you know, you've got Mike McDaniel that apparently was of some interest to them. It ends up taking the Chargers job. Daboll takes the Titans over the Eagles. Like, it doesn't look like anybody wants the Eagles OC job. It's weird.
Yeah, well, it is. But you know what? I can see if I'm one of those OC candidates, I look at Philly and I could talk myself to, I don't know about Sirianni. For they won it all. They're the reigning Super Bowl champs still. And yet I could see this going bad for Sirianni. And it's gotten close to that before, too.
Sure.
And, you know, look, this Philly is.
There's just a lot of talent there, I guess, is my point. Like, sure. There's a lot to work with, you would think.
No. Yeah, no, for sure. There's a lot of talent. Then you also have the A.J. Brown stuff. So then you have the Brown and Hurts stuff. And I don't know. Overall, it does seem weird. But if you really look closely, you can see where there's obviously turmoil, some people who don't like each other that much. And Philly is it's one of those organizations that, like, they seem to always – they're always figuring out ways to have, like, one of the most talented rosters in the league. It's been really kind of a long time. Like, how many real dips have they had, you know, in the last, like, 10, 12 years? Not much. But then, they, you know, Doug Peterson wins the Super Bowl, but then it's like, okay, you're out, buddy. Like, I mean, I think Sirianni actually could be on thin ice this next year. I think that could be, like, the coveted job of the next cycle. So if you're an OC candidate, you know, I can see being like, I don't know if I want to step into that. But remember, we also, it was looking really rough. Couple years ago, he's had all these OC changes, and then they all of a sudden last year figure it out and just go win the whole damn thing. Saquon Barkley being a huge part of that. So it is wild that at this point, and I'd love to know, like, how much Daboll really, like, what did he think about it? There's another question for Kaharski to ask Daboll.
A lot of questions for Daboll.
Write it down.
Is Daboll going to be at this press conference tomorrow, or are they having a separate one for him? How many press conferences are we about to have around here?
Well, I would definitely not expect him to be there tomorrow. I'm trying to think, like, yeah, no, I guess really, it, yeah, that's it. They probably won't have a presser for Daboll, right? Like, the first time Daboll talks will probably be, will he be at the combine and talk?
I don't know. It's a good question.
I mean, they'll be there, but I don't think they really make those guys. Maybe they'll make them available at the combine. I think that'd be a good thing to do, but they don't have to. It might not be until the spring stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. And in the meantime, we've talked about, you know, the offense that he runs and what that could look like for Cam Ward. How are you trying to build this thing if you're the Titans, if you're Robert Saleh, if you're Brian Daboll now together? I mean, people are making, you know, connections to players that those guys have been around before. Like, the moment Robert Saleh was hired, you know, a lot of Titans fans started texting us about, well, Breece Hall. I mean, he's, you know, Saleh has coached Breece Hall before, so he's going to be the next running back for the Titans. Now, I would say Saleh has coached Breece Hall before. That could give them a leg up on getting Breece Hall again. That could be a total detriment. I have no idea.
Right.
I mean, the offense did not go well under Robert Saleh. So Breece Hall may look at it and say, yeah, I don't know about that. No thanks. I mean, Brian Daboll's there, so maybe that helps. Saleh may look at Breece Hall and say, yeah, you know, I think I'll probably do something else at the running back position there. That part of it is interesting. You know, there's some interesting names at wide receiver that could be out there. Now, the tricky part about now, Joe, is when all these, you know, all these names are on all these lists when it comes to wide receivers, right? Like, there's George Pickens who's going to be out there, and Alec Pierce, and, you know, Mike Evans' contract has come up, and Romeo Doubs is going to be out there from Green Bay. You know, Wan'Dale Robinson from the New York Giants is going to be out there. Now, the question is, of all these guys that are currently supposedly going to be available, how many of them get deals figured out before free agency actually gets here? And by the time free agency actually gets here, how many of these wide receivers are legitimately out there on the market? That's going to be interesting to follow.
Exactly. Yeah. Because definitely Wan'Dale Robinson is a name that obviously comes to mind, and I like him a lot. But yes, yeah, that's always something that we always talk about names, and then half or more of them end up back with their original team. But You know, some of this is when you get to guys who actually will be available, and you get into the competitive arena of trying to sign free agents. You know, it's like, I do think Nashville helps the Titans. You know, I think Saleh and Daboll, it seems like for the most part, were liked by people they coached. You know, just for, I mean, there's tons of people who will speak on Saleh's behalf, and it seems like, you know, Daboll, Sikorsky's piece did a good job of finding some old stuff from like Josh Allen and Daniel Jones talking about Daboll. Like, if you're Breece Hall looking at the Titans, you look at that offensive line, say, you know, that, this could be a pretty good group. And of course, with all of it, it's like it's your perception of Cam Ward, which seems to be league-wide. I mean, he's kind of just ignored for all the rookie stuff and everything. The numbers aren't great. I do still feel like there's a pretty good, I mean, I think he has a chance to be attractive to free agents in terms of, yeah, come play with Cam Ward, with the tree, you know, with Saleh, with Daboll's the OC. Like, that could really work. I think you could talk people into that.
One texter says, let's tighten up. Besides Harbaugh, this is just about the best case scenario. Richard on the YouTube chat says, when this many Titans fans are happy all at once, it's time to brace yourself. Everybody is too happy around here. What's the next shoe that's gonna drop at this point? We'll see. I mean, look, when you hired Saleh as the head coach, you know, do I think that is there a huge difference between Brian Daboll as offensive coordinator and, you know, like Cliff Kingsbury? I mean, they're totally different in like the systems that they run, but both of them, you know, have had good success in the NFL calling plays and have been an offensive coordinator. So, like, if they didn't get Daboll and they ended up with Kingsbury, or they didn't get Daboll and, let's say, you know, earlier in the process, Arthur Smith didn't go to Ohio State and he ended up being the offensive coordinator, like, Titans fans, I think, would have talked themselves into those guys. I mean, Arthur Smith had success here as an OC. Kingsbury has had success in the league as an OC. So I think Titans fans would have been happy with those. But, like, clearly over the last couple of days, since Russini had the report about Daboll being looking like he was going to land here if he didn't take the Bills job, like, Titans fans have zeroed in on him. And you go back and you look through the history, and there's, as we've discussed this hour, a lot to be, I think, hopeful about and excited about if you're a Titans fan. And now it's about, you know, Borgonzi. Can he go out and make the right decisions around these guys? And can you implement a system with Cam Ward where you highlight his strengths? And he's got to work on developing more strengths, right? Like this offseason. And, you know, hopefully he gets through the shoulder thing okay, and he's able to do and put in, you know, significant work this offseason on the footwork and all those different things we've talked about. But how much does Daboll help with that, right? Like, how much does Daboll help Cam Ward kind of mechanically as he moves forward here too?
Yeah, and you look at Daniel Jones, and obviously he had been struggling. Daboll gets in, and immediately he has his best NFL season. And it's like, I mean, at that point, at the 2022 season, it was like, this Daboll must be like legit a QB whisper. Now, then it didn't go as well. And then Daniel Jones all of a sudden has another last year before he got hurt. Like, whoa, okay, this might be the best he's played yet. So, you know, obviously he did some good things there. There was a lot of praise early on with that Giants job for what he was doing. I mean, I think one thing about this situation that cuts through the rhetoric and all this stuff is, like, Cam Ward knows. Like, you don't have to be told. He knows through actions that Daboll wanted him as his quarterback.
Yes.
And I do have to feel like that's a good starting point for that relationship, right? Like, you don't have to be like, hey, Cam, I really liked you, man. I really liked you in college, you know? Like, Cam actually knows. You know, he talked to those guys, I'm sure, a lot during the process, and that they wanted to give up a lot to get him. That's got to feel good as a QB to know that there's belief, like, already in place.
Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com will be with us in the second half of the program. We will get into the hiring of Brian Daboll as offensive coordinator with him coming up a little bit later in the show. Coming up next, Vanderbilt absolutely destroys Kentucky last night. What does that mean for Vandy moving forward? And on the flip side, what does it mean for Mark Pope and the Kentucky Wildcats? We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.